Good morning, church. It's great to see all of you. Let's open up in prayer. Father, we thank you once again as we look into your word. I pray that it brings light. It brings, Lord, revelation. It brings, Father God, Lord, your encouragement and your strength upon the people in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Today, I just want to talk about building for the future. Building for the future. Now, in the Bible, there are different vocations that describe a Christian. A Christian is described as a farmer. He sows. He looks for different lands and he sows. You know, if there's somebody who needs help, you sow. It's a ministry that you feel is good ground, you sow there. But he's also described as an athlete. He's an athlete. He knows what he is supposed to eat. He or she is supposed to eat. He doesn't just eat any junk food. He exercises, he or she exercises. He doesn't just take any funny doctrines, but he's engaged in exercises, constantly praying, fasting, reading the word, meditating, fellowship. These are the exercises that he's engaged in as an athlete. Yet he's also a soldier. He's also a soldier. He's enlisted in an army that is already victorious. And so as a soldier, sometimes he's called upon late at night, 4 a.m., wake up. And he's up in the morning. He's ready for war. And there's so many different vocations that are described a Christian. But today I want to talk about another vocation that describes a Christian. And think to the Lord, Lord, are you trying to make me schizophrenic? I'm a soldier, and I'm an athlete, and then I'm a farmer. But there are good things to pick up from what God is telling us. Today, I want to talk about another vocation, the vocation of being a builder. That's another vocation that you as a Christian, you and I are. As a Christian, you are a builder. And I'm going to talk about building for the future. You see, we live in an age where there's going to be storms. There's going to be different kinds of situations. Even just the past few months, alone, there'll be wildfires in Europe and in North America. They finished the Olympics, and after they finished the Olympics, if you're watching the news, floods came in Japan, Tokyo. And there are floods there already, all of a sudden, earthquake in Haiti, just a few weeks ago. So we're living in an age where there's going to be different situations that are going to face us. And I want to encourage us to build for the future, in the midst of all of this. You see, in the book of Genesis chapter 3, verse 17, after Adam and Eve sinned, the Lord says, cursed is the ground. Cursed is the ground for your sake. So this ground that we live in is cursed. It goes against the proponents of climate change. This ground is going to produce earthquakes. It's going to produce all sorts of things. Hurricanes, as we speak, there's a hurricane approaching USA, by the way. This ground is cursed. But at the same time, this is what God says. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, I will heal the land. There is a movie that Afriya is not here, recommended to me to watch. Of a man of God, a businessman, a man of God in Kenya. The northern part of Kenya is completely dry. 40 degrees centigrade, 40 plus degrees centigrade all throughout the year. When it reaches the summer season in December, it even reaches 50 degrees centigrade. So everything in Kenya, where I come from, all the commerce and activity happens in the south. The north is all barren. But this guy, the Lord told him, go to the north and set up an orphanage in the north. And he went up in the north and he set up that orphanage in the north. This is a movie that Afriye recommended for me. I'll recommend it for you if you want to watch it. And I was watching it and he set up this orphanage in dry, barren land. If you look at the sky, there's not even one cloud. The sun is, you know, we're in the equator, the sun feels like it's here. So you walk this one, it's here. You walk this one, it's here. Burning, scorching hot, no water. And the Lord told him to go and dig a certain place. And they said, what's wrong with you? He went and dug this certain place and water came out. And he started doing irrigation. And after a while, that whole land, if you see it, it's green. It's full of food. And he's become a government consultant on land. They consult him on how to transform land. He says, if my people who are called by me, you know, sin affects the land. It affects the physical land. You see how this world of ours is? People cuss and swear. People are living in sin. It affects us. It does affect us. But if my people who are called by my name shall humble them, pray and pray and seek my face, I will come and I'll heal the land. But today I want to talk about storms, building for the future. And in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, 27, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, I will liken to a one who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended and on the house, and it did not fail, for it was. Everyone who does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on them, and it fell. And it says, great was its fall. Now, notice the succession of things that are happening there. Rain, floods, wind, they're all coming, and they're all coming to the non-believer and the believer. They're all coming. And so, brothers and sisters, I want to encourage us that if we are going to build anything, we've got to build with a storm in mind. We've got to build with a storm in mind, that there are going to be storms coming. In Japan, they build with earthquakes in mind, because the earthquakes are going to come. They build with storms in mind. If we are going to build anything, we need to know that we have to build knowing that there may be times then it's going to be crazy in our day-to-day language. In our church, CLF, by God's grace, I'm in charge of the new members who come in. So if you're a new member, I come in and I inaugurate you, shall I use that word? And I go through, everything about the church, and you know, this is the ministries that we do, and very many people come through and I speak to them, and some people tell me, you know, God has brought me to this church. And I look at them soberly whenever they tell me that. God has brought me here. I was praying and I felt the Holy Spirit tell me that God has brought me here. I said, okay, wow. God has brought you here. Great. And I believe God has brought you here. Listen, you know, Joseph in the Bible, he said that I'm going to be a prime minister. God has told me that I'm going to be a prime minister. And you guys are going to bow down to me. Oh, it sounds fantastic, isn't it? But he did not know what was going to go between the time he was told he's going to be a prime minister and the time he's going to be a prime minister. What is happening here in between, he wasn't told. He wasn't told that he's going to be put in a pit in Egypt. You need to understand how the desert in Egypt is. Those of you who watch Natural Geographic, there are scorpions and snakes, sidewinders in the desert. He was put in a pit, and sometimes we romanticize the Bible and we do not think about what really happened in that pit. Well, did he have any food in that pit? What about the scorpion that was trying to enter into that pit and the snake that he had to throw out of that pit? I'm not saying it's in the Bible. I'm just trying to think abstract. All right? So, between here and he became a prime minister, he was also in jail. Put in jail. If you're put in jail today, there's a marker on you. You even go to look for a job, they don't want to give you a job. He was put in jail before he became a prime minister. Beloved, before God tells you, the thing that God tells you comes to happen, there are going to be a few storms. And somehow God uses those storms to mold you. Do not run away from the storms. Oh, King David, you're going to be the king. I found somebody who's after my own heart. But he did not know that he's going to be a fugitive being chased by the president of the land. The president of the land was chasing him with all the machinery and saying, I want to kill this man. So, I did not subscribe for this. I tell you, man. Listen. Build knowing that things are going to happen. And good things are going to happen as well. You're going to become the king. Yes. You're going to become the prime minister if you stay the course. The Lord told me as well, when I became saved, this is your church, Crystal Life Fellowship. And I came. Between then and now, God did not tell me that, Bishop is going to go away. He didn't. God will tell you the future. And he will tell you the present. But what's going to happen in between, he won't tell you. Most probably if he tells you, you will bail out. You will take the Job's wife attitude. I call it the Job's wife attitude. You will curse God and die. Huh? What's all this? Curse God and die. No. Stay. Come on. Stay. Build for the future. Build. You're a builder. God has called us to be builders. Storms will come. It's not a matter of if, but when it comes. When it comes, do everything to stand. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 to 11 says, according to the grace which God has given to me as a wise master builder. This is Paul talking. He's given me this grace as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. God is saying that you are a wise master builder. And there's the only part that God is going to build for you is the foundation. There is no other foundation except Christ. You have to build. It says, I built on it and another builds on. And we need to start building on what Bishop also built for us. This is not the time to bail and ship out. Isn't? Moses, my servant, is dead. Do you know how many days God gave them to mourn? 30 days. After 30 days, finish eating the ice cream and the Oreo and all these nice chocolates and jollof rice. Finish eating after 30 days. Let's move on. We've got a promised land. 30 days. Imagine if he told you 30 days, guys. Then now let's go on. Let's move on. Is God being crass? He's not being crass. Is God being callous? He's not being callous. God knows that you will see Bishop. You know, sometimes I try to think and depict and see, put myself in the shoes of angels. And what angels see. And an angel is watching Mr. David Ogilla. Mr. David Ogilla has got no job. Oh, he's depressed. He's putting the blanket over his head. And the angel is watching me. Sometimes they wonder because they don't know in our shoes. He's watching me. And I get up again. I'm praising God. And tomorrow somebody says something to me. This week somebody says something to me. Aye. And I really struggled for a while, you know. And I had to start rebuking bitterness. Someone starts to say to you and you become bitter. You come to church like a sour lemon and praise is going and you're watching. The angel is watching you. And look at the angel watching us as our bishop has left and is going to heaven. The angel is watching Bishop going to heaven and he's watching us. Some of us are saying, no, we're not going to get moved anymore. I'm not going back to church anymore. I don't know what to do. And the angel is like, what song is this guy? But Bishop is here. Nothing has changed. We've got to build with a storm in hand. We've got to build with a storm in hand. I want to talk about somebody who was told to build. Noah, Genesis chapter 6, verses 13 to 14. And God said to Noah, then the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them. With the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. you read that verse carefully, I grew up going to Sunday school as well, and I was told that Noah built a boat, you know, and today it is said that that particular boat, I'm going to put a quote unquote, I'm going to go back to why I'm putting boat, quote unquote, that boat was the equivalent of the aircraft carrier's size. And he was told to build this, but I'm talking about Sunday school here. But if I read this scripture here, if I look at it carefully, it doesn't say build a boat. It says build an ark. Build an ark. And then it says another word that I pick up here. It says build yourself an ark. That ark was not being built for God. Build you, yourself, an ark. And you have to be building an ark. There are a few arks in the Bible. Ark of the tabernacle. Even Moses, when he was put in a basket? The Bible doesn't call it a basket. It calls it an ark. What does an ark symbolize? An ark symbolizes one, the presence of God. An ark symbolizes two, the law of God. An ark symbolizes three, a place where God speaks. Exodus chapter 25, verse 22. It says, build yourself the presence of God. One, build yourself a place where the law of God is going to be read. Build yourself the third place where you're going to be hearing God. Build yourself an ark. You and I have to build an ark for our future. You see, you know the saying that says the children are the future? It's a very good saying, but it should be said that everybody is the future. You cannot predict the future, but to some extent you can build now for the future. And the education where I work, in the education, higher education where I work, the first speech that we have to give to the students, I have to tell the students that you have to read at least 3 hours every day if you're going to come out of here with a first class or 2-1. You build yourself for the future. You've got to make sure, today we're going to be praying for students, you've got to make sure that you leave university with at least 2-1 or a first class degree, because there are certain institutions will not even entertain your CV unless you've got a 2-1 or a first class degree. Some of you who have graduated know this. But you start now. You can build the future. So he told Moses, build an ark. Build an ark for yourself. It's a two-way process. As said, the Lord will give you the foundation. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. In the beginning was the Logos. There is a certain lecturer that I work with. He's from Greek. He's from Greece. And I asked him, I usually ask him what Greek words mean. So I told him, hey, sir, what does Logos mean? Logos, David? He put his thing down. Logos is something that is so, so amazing. You cannot even compare Logos to the most expensive word art. You can't. It is so amazing that when Logos is depicted, you have to stand and stare and take note. That's how he defined Logos for me, a Greek guy from Greece. In the beginning was the Logos. The Logos was with God. Or rather, the express thought was with God. If you look at the word logos, in the beginning was the logistics, where we get the word logistics. In the beginning was the word. Another, if you look at it again, it says, in the beginning was the computation. Or in the beginning was the plan. The plan was with God. The plan was God. The plan became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. Full of grace. Plan. God is a master planner. God is a master builder. You need to be building your life, building your marriage, building your walk with God, building the ministry. Building the ministry. I had a dream. I think I need to share this dream. I was going to share it during the word. I think I need to share this dream. And in this dream, 2 weeks ago, in this dream, we all of us, CLF Greenwich, we were all in a train. And this train was journeying. Very many of us, and I could recognize different faces in that train. And as the train was journeying, some people in the train stood up and said, "Stop." I'm going to mention Angela. They told Angela, "Stop, we want to get out of this train." So a few people, not very many people. And as they were talking about getting out of this train, the scene changed. You know, like in a movie, this is like I was watching a movie. The scene changed and magnified the discussion between one elder and one of the people who wanted to leave the train. And I could hear what they're saying. And that person was saying, "I've got to leave the train. Stop, I've got to leave the train." And that elder was saying, "But I thought you promised God that you're going to be here. I thought you promised the church that you're going to be here." That's what the elder said, two things. And this person said, "No, I've got to leave." And we had to stop the train. And the train stopped and he stood out of his seat. And the doors opened, automatic doors, and he came out. And as he left his seat, there was poo on his seat. And the elders came and cleaned up the seat, disinfected the seat, and we continued the journey. The dream ended. You know, and I say, what's all this all about, Lord? You know, train always talks about a new season. We're in a new season, and we're going in this new season. And the Lord has put the elders and the ministers and the pastors there for you. And the Lord is confident enough that they can take us through this new season. But some people are saying, "No, I didn't subscribe for this, even though we're in a new season. And I've got to bail out. I've got to leave. Please do not leave." We all have got our issues and our uncleanliness, the poo. Within this new season, most probably the elders are going to clean it up for you and nurse you and get you going. I have had my spiritual nappies, excuse my language, have had to be cleaned very many times. If you can speak to Pastor Phil here, he will tell you. Please do not speak to him. I don't want him to tell you. Well, don't tell them, sir. But many times I've had to come to them and tell them, "You know, sir, you know, I did this, this." I say, "Yeah, you did that? Okay, don't worry. Come," and they prayed for me, and I continued. Because I know we are in a journey. We are in a journey. We are building for the future. Our house is built. It is built for strength. It is built for strength. And within the house, as I close, any structure you're building, remember you're a builder. There are walls. Walls talk about boundaries. There are boundaries that you have to keep yourself from. Boundaries of sin, of sexual immorality, of bitterness. These are boundaries. Keep yourself away from those boundaries. They keep you there. They protect you. In fact, I remember very well, Bishop Pastor Phil, prophet came and spoke to this church years ago, and he gave a prophecy to this church, and he says, CLF is like the Noah's Ark. And you're building, and you are building, and outside some people will look at you and say, what's going on here? This is like the days of Noah. They were laughing as people were building. It was built for a long, long time. It was being built for a long. That's what prophets said. I remember very well. It was being built for a long. Some people outside are laughing. Some of you know, in the Noah's time, there was no rain. There had never been rain. The concept of rain was not known during that time. If you told people that water is going to fall out from heaven, they say, "What's wrong with this guy?" Because God used to water the land. And they'd laugh at him. And they would laugh at him. But he kept on building. He had heard from God. He kept on building. And they were laughing. So this church is like Noah's Ark. And you guys are building. And you are building. Remember somebody, as Paul said, "I'm a master builder," just like anybody else. One builds and another one adds upon it. It is no time to bail out. It is no time to take Job's wife's attitude, the curse God and die attitude, because storms have come. Before you realize another storm has come. Before you realize another storm has come. Before you realize another storm has come. You say, "What? You're still praising God? Cast God and die." Do not cast God and die. Continue building. You don't know what God is going to do. You don't. God is with us. He is. He is with us. When I got saved, I had God tell me, I am with you. That has always stuck with me. I am with you. And whenever we sing the song, Hillsong, I know that you're with me. Is it? I'm not a good singer. Huh? I will not fear because he's with me. Yesterday, I'm closing. Yesterday at midnight, 1 hour past midnight, my wife woke me up. Somebody's knocking the door. Someone has rung the bell in the door. I didn't hear it. I said, okay, let's go. Let's continue sleeping. Then I know I couldn't sleep now. I was just looking at the ceiling. And then I heard, tack, 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 tack. I said, did you hear that? Yeah, somebody's knocking. Somebody's knocking. Go. me, go. The man, go. This one. Go, go, go. This one. You're the leader. This one, you're the leader. This one. I went downstairs. As soon as I reached downstairs, the way the house is built, there's a flight of stairs going to the main door. I reached the flight of stairs and I was looking. And I felt fear grip my stomach. Oh! I was nearly paralyzed and I was breathing heavily. And I didn't want to breathe so heavily in case that guy can hear me. And then my wife came down. Is there anybody there? Shouting. Have you seen him? I said, no, there's nobody there. Then we went back to bed, and I sat in my bed there, and I could still feel this grip in my stomach of fear. And I asked myself, why am I fearful? That's what I asked myself. Because David says, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in the Lord. Come on, fear go. And I felt calm, man. He is with me. I know that he is with me. I will not fear. I will not fear. We did not prescribe when we started the church that at a moment in time a key figure is going to leave us. We did not prescribe to that. We didn't know that. We've been given loads and loads of wonderful prophecies. This church, CLF, another prophecy that prophet told us, that this church, the marriages are going to be very strong, and the marriages are going to be a model for the outside world. Very many promises has been given to us, but we were not told what's going to happen in between. No. Come on, God is with us. Let's stand. Let's stand. Let's stand. Let's stand. Father, I just want to pray for each and every one of us. I pray, Lord, let your strength be upon us as we build upon what has already been built. Father God, I pray for those who may be fearful. I pray for those, Lord, who may, Lord, be feeling heavy. I pray for those, Lord, who have maybe their focus has changed. I pray for each and every one of us, Lord, that we will focus on you, the author and the finisher of our faith, Father God. We will focus on you, I pray, in Jesus' name. I pray those who are fearful, I sense some are fearful of the future. Do not be fearful of the future. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. He wants to give us an expected end and a future hope. Build and continue building. Do not be put down by what's happening around us. Continue building. Continue coming church. Continue doing the cell. Continue doing the ministries. Continue doing worship. Continue. Continue in your sound. Continue. Nothing has changed. Jesus is the same. He is the same. Continue. I pray, Father, for those who are weary, I pray, Lord, that you will lift them up. Lord, that they will rise up again. I pray for those, Father God, Lord, who may feel disoriented about the future. Lord, I ask Lord, that you give them the grace and the strength. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not in your own understanding. Your own understanding will start rationalizing so many things that are happening in CLF at the moment. But you focus in the Lord, and I will direct your paths. Amen. Amen. Be blessed. Thank you.